You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Next up on the show today, Joel also spoke to Alex Kazagalis, the author of a cross-party commissioned report about how to make New Zealand emission-free.
Over a year ago now, the world came together to agree the Paris commitments, and one of the aspects of that was a commitment for the world to move towards zero emissions, basically, or net zero emissions, as it's called. And the purpose of our report was to ask, is it possible and plausible for New Zealand to go on a pathway that's consistent with that global commitment? And we've concluded that it is, and that there's actually multiple scenarios for how New Zealand could meet its share of the net zero commitment. In looking at the options for New Zealand doing that, one of the things that was most striking was New Zealand is blessed with significant low-carbon renewable power resources, as you well know, and also because of its geography, there's the potential for land use change and forestry to reduce its emissions as well. In fact, those options make New Zealand particularly well-placed to capitalise upon the technological developments that have happened only in the last few years, and we might be concluding different things if we did this report only 5 or 10 years ago. However, it's not all sort of smooth sailing, and there's some difficult decisions that New Zealand faces if it's going to be reducing its emissions at these quite radical levels. And another one of the key conclusions of the report is that a change in land use patterns is an essential part of New Zealand being on the low carbon path. And what we mean by that is that there needs to be some thought about pastoral agriculture and the farming of ruminants relative to horticulture and other lower emission uses of the land.
Cool. So you talked about the sort of three scenarios that were outlined in the report to reduce emissions. Are you able to take us through these three scenarios in a bit more detail?
Absolutely. So firstly, to say scenario analysis is an incredibly useful tool when you're dealing with the level of uncertainty that we're talking about here. No one's making predictions. What we're trying to do is construct plausible, internally consistent pictures of New Zealand's economy in 2050 and to work out what options are available in each of those worlds. And we look at three plus one, I should say. So the first one we call off-track New Zealand, and it is actually still a big change, but it remains off track, and that's the point that we want to make with this scenario. So there's a significant transformation in the energy system. There's electrification of almost all of the passenger fleet, to 85% of passenger vehicles being electric. Because of that, you need a much larger electricity system providing low carbon energy. So there's a lot more wind farms and other forms of renewables that have to somehow find investment in order to support the electric vehicle story. In heat, we're looking at the electrification of heat as well, and shifting away from other potential high carbon fuels. And there's some moderate changes in the agricultural sector as well. There's improved carbon intensity of the least well performing farms to bring management practice up to better benchmarks. And there's improved sort of feeding regimes and some low emissions breeding techniques as well. So there's a set of options there, but what we're saying about that scenario is that they can all be done at relatively low cost. And in fact, over the period to 2050, you might think that they would happen with a relatively modest increase in cost. But that doesn't get you on the path to net zero emissions. The next two scenarios do get you on the path to net zero emissions, and the difference is that they make a change in land use planning and in two different ways. So one of the ones that's on track is called Innovative New Zealand, and it looks at what would happen if there was innovation in the agriculture sector to develop a methane vaccine. And this measure alone, if the technology were to come to pass, and we don't rely on it because it's just in one scenario, but if it were to come to pass, it would make a significant difference to the emissions in the agriculture sector. There are other things in that scenario too. We also go further with electrification because new technologies come along that allow the electrification of more difficult parts of heat. The second on-track scenario is Resourceful New Zealand, and this is one where these new technologies don't come to pass, and therefore we need to make up the gap somehow, and we do it with forestry. So forestry is there as a backup option to reduce emissions should a methane vaccine not come to pass. I put those quite crudely to explain the broad concepts. Obviously, there's a lot of detailed analysis that underpins each of those broad scenarios. So off-track, innovative, and resourceful New Zealand.
Cool. And particularly for the last two scenarios, do you think that they are realistic under New Zealand's current economic and regulatory climate?
What we can say very clearly is that these scenarios are a significant departure from business as usual, and they require policy development in multiple sectors across the economy. So business as usual is both in terms of the regulatory regime and the economic structure is inconsistent with these scenarios. We want to say that chief among the policy tools is the use of emissions pricing in decision-making by government. And we point to examples from around the world where even if there isn't an emissions trading scheme with a high enough price, government still conducts its cost-benefit analysis and makes its investments on the basis as if there were one. So it takes it into account when it does its internal decision-making. And as far as possible, that sends a signal to business who hopefully can take an internal carbon price into account as well. Obviously, it's important to have an explicit carbon price, one that comes from a market or another implicit measure, but there should be at some point a strong and stable carbon price in the market as well to factor in the externality of carbon. But unless and until we get that, it can still be factored into government decision making. A carbon price is not enough, and the other way that I think regulatory frameworks would need to change is through a set of different standards. So we know from experience around the world that for energy efficiency and new buildings, for example, and for transport, standards are required in order to shift purchasing behavior because of a number of market failures that make it difficult for a carbon price to drive behavior change in and of itself. So carbon pricing plus a set of standards across buildings and transport that go beyond what currently exists in the New Zealand context.
Sure, definitely. So some MPs, including Prime Minister Bill English, are disagreeing with the fact that the country's economic strategy is to blame. How do you respond to this?
So one of the aspects of the scenario report is that we really hope it isn't the last word on what scenarios are possible for New Zealand. We really offer it as an opportunity to start the conversation and to capitalise upon the promising level of cross-party agreement that there is at the moment in New Zealand over doing something on climate change. A hearty contest over what the specifics of that are and what specific strategy should be taken is very much the intended next step after this report. So I'd welcome that debate and efforts towards constructing other scenarios which demonstrate how New Zealand can achieve its net zero commitments.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.